Managing Your Financial Coins, episode number 7. Welcome to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. We're getting closer to the finish line, y'all. And then I'm going to have to leave you to fend for yourself. Almost like ripping that Band-Aid off. Educating her means 10 days straight repping generations before you. But this time, I'm educating one female college freshman at a time with college life must-haves. So it's day 7 of the Educating Her series. You know, I wish someone told me is the major key of this podcast series. It's about making someone else's college experience better than yours and minimizing the mistakes. The goal is to mentor you virtually and ensure your experience is better than what we had. This is all evergreen stuff. The cycle will improve each year as people come forward telling their stories, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. So we're spending money every day. College is a time we make a lot of financial mistakes managing our coins. We stumble through it, but you know what? Chances are you're going to become financially savvy and smarter after 4 years. Use these tips to manage your money. If you've never had those money conversations at home with your parents, you're in the right place. Here's how green some of us freshmen can be. Don't worry, it's normal.
I don't even know about credit yet. So that's why I don't deal with that. So,
right, and you shouldn't.
Conversations about money have to happen early as a child, really, and continue until they leave for college. This way, they are aware of the outside temptations, the pitfalls, and even the consequences of your actions. I got the conversation from both parents who sat me down after running up a credit card bill to $300, a whopping $300 in college, which was kind of after the fact. 5 things you're going to hear today. Number 1, if you're Black, you don't need financial aid coins. Number 2, types of scholarships available. Number 3, credit card schemes. Number 4, stand on your stuff. And number 5, the money lessons. Ladies, are you ready to keep it 100? My hand is raised. How about yours?
Are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
So she didn't have the financial resources, nor did her family. And Tanika, Morgan State alum, talks about her financial nightmares that they don't really tell students.
I didn't come to school on scholarship. And had it not been for the now director of financial aid at Morgan, I probably would have packed my bags and went back to Sacramento, because it was so frustrating, the process of financial aid, the long lines, it just wasn't organized. It was an absolute mess. Chaos, courses being dropped, having to try to re-enroll in classes after you get your financial aid settled. So literally, I built a relationship. She literally picked me up and took me in her office and made sure everything was taken care of. Like, she saw the frustration. She contacted my mom in California because I was calling back home like, I don't know what's going on. I'm losing my classes. It just was a mess. And now I one of my sorority sisters does exactly what I believe is the fabric of that can make or break somebody's college experience. She's in financial aid and she's just so caring. She's above and beyond, communicating with the parents as to how to walk their kids through the process and their responsibility and things that they need to do in order to secure their financial aid so they won't have drop schedules and, come sign this paperwork so everything is taken care of, and I think that piece right there is find someone who is caring. Ask other upperclassmen who is the person you need to talk to, you know, because it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Tip number one, ask someone who's been through it. You need to talk to upperclassmen.
And you won't know who you know if you don't ask someone who's already been through it. I can't tell you how many, even to this day, I don't care what their last name is, because, you know, they organize it by last name with students, but I send them directly to my sorority sister for financial aid. She's like, you're not even in my alphabet. Yeah, but she told me to come see you because you would make sure that everything was taken care of. So, you know, to have that that rapport and relationship with students, you know, the students know. So it's important for you to talk to upperclassmen. You know, when I was at Morgan, I did the Adopt a Freshman program, and I made it my business to interact and really mentor and do what we're doing now, you know, telling them, you know, if I don't know, I'll find somebody who does know, just to make someone else's experience better than the experience that I may have, you know, gone through. So, you know, it's definitely important to ask those questions, talk to other students who have been through what you're experiencing, and just, like I said, take advantage of those opportunities. I can't tell you how many student organizations do freshman move-in. You know, take those opportunities when they're moving you into your dorm to talk to them, peek their brains about their experiences, who they need to talk to, what resources are available, so that you can have a great college experience.
Tip number two, Dr. Hilton of GradSchoolHelp.com. His message is don't take out student loans. Listen up.
I can't say this enough. I don't think that any Black person should spend a dime or take out student loans to attend college and university. If you're taking out loans, you're doing something terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. There's a sea of information in terms of funding and resources in terms of how to tap into that. And so if you're a parent and you're listening to this, there's absolutely no reason why you should be taking out student loans. My first car that I purchased was purchased using scholarship money, and it was an educational expense. Wasn't a great car, but it got me from point A to point B. I had a scholarship for books. I had a scholarship that if I could maintain a 2.75, they would kick in an additional $500 at the end of each semester, right? There's scholarships for all kinds of stuff, whether or not you have a twitch in your left eye, whether or not you have aspiration of going to the moon, whether or not you want to be a social worker, whether or not you want to be a physician, whether or not you live in the Northeast, whether or not your parents were in the military, whatever it is, there's money for it. And there are a couple of resources out there. There's Black Excel. There is, what is that other famous site? It'll come back to me. But there are tons of resources out there. I know that it's time consuming, but look at it this way. If you can just put the 10 or 15 hours in to actually write the scholarships and so forth at the beginning of semester, many of them are renewable, right? And so you can basically have literally free money that way you're not having to work.
Now we're going to cover the types of scholarships these students use, such as McNair, LSAMP, PPIA, Leadership Alliance, just to name a few. These are the programs targeted for minorities who are in specific fields but are interested in continuing their graduate school studies or even pursuing their PhD. And this is where we're even a smaller minority of the student population.
Apply to as many as you can. Apply early, because it's always a lot of people applying from all over the world, especially if you're doing it online, you know, you can have somebody in China, probably, you know, depending on what your scholarship, depending on the credentials of your scholarship. Don't let a no or rejection stop you from applying to other scholarships. Not every scholarship you apply to, you're going to get accepted for. Don't worry about the amount because I think I had a scholarship that was like for $500. And I mean, that wasn't even half of what I needed for school, but it was something.
You do it every semester?
Yes. I'll apply for your institutional grants and scholarships. It's not a guarantee, but I think one year I received it and they gave me a nice amount for institutional grant. Just apply. Like, that's just a big thing. Apply for the Senatal grants. There are scholarships everywhere. Research. So if you're in a different state, research your state scholarship, things like that.
Scholarships in your major.
Your major, your gender.
Your race.
Your race. You can get a scholarship in pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is apply. It's either you get it or you don't, but regardless, you try.
For my undergraduate, I think I earned at the time, this is way back when, I won't show my age, in the 80s. You know, I had enough to cover my tuition, buy a car, and all kinds of interesting things. By the time I got to my master's degree, most of my friends says, I think he's selling weed. He's Jamaican. There's no way in hell he should be able to buy a new car. And there's no way in hell he should be traveling as much as he's traveling. And there's no way in hell he should live in that house that he just bought at the age of 20-something, right? That's simply because I discovered very quickly that, wait a minute, I can make more money going to school than I can working. Why in the hell would I want to go to work when I can have this much fun? In fact, I was depressed when I literally had to graduate because the free money was coming to an end. Right, so that's the thing that I put out there, that there's tons of it. Go after it with as much fiercely as you can and as much dedication as you can. But there's absolutely no reason why you should be taking out student loan. And when college is so expensive and it's going to become so costly.
The college credit card scam is old as mud. But if you do decide to go that route, proceed with caution, knowing stuff stays on your financial record for 7 years. So if you're looking down the road and you want to secure credit in the future, it's going to mess you up when you're trying to get a car loan, a job, or even just get your own condo.
No.
Okay. I think some people getting into something like that, or just scams, like...
Yeah.
Do you know Amaya Nia?
I think I've heard of her.
Yeah, so this girl, she lived like across the hall from me and a few doors down. And it was something that her and her friends had heard about, like this scam with, I guess, money gets put into your account for a certain amount of time and then it gets taken out and you keep some. It was something crazy like that. And then her friend, it was successful for her. Like, I guess she got $50 or $500. And then Amaya tries it. And this girl gets caught. Like, I think somebody's calling her phone, like, you need to pay this money. And so she had to tell her mother that she had to pay $8,000 back to somebody for something that she had no business doing. Like, she knew it was wrong, but it's like people just gamble and try to cheat the system. And so I think she had to pay like $8,000, and so she didn't have it. So, of course, she had to tell her mom, Mom, I did something stupid. Now you have to pay for it.
Tip number 3, credit card companies target students who don't know what credit is. And most of all, those are the people who need money the most.
I think they would target students because, like, we don't know anything about credit. We don't know anything about, like, we just know how to spend money and probably, and minimum, know how to make it.
Money lessons from students.
I actually didn't get the chance to pay bills, but I did have to take out some loans. Like I had to sign off something, but I know that I have to pay them back. Like, I'm doing scholarships and all that. Like, I definitely started applying to scholarships like almost every day. So that's probably a good start. And I think most of my money went towards food. So yeah. That's probably not what I want to do this year. Okay. So I'm going to try to keep that at a minimum and probably only do it when it's necessary. Because my mom's going to start buying me groceries So instead of me having to go out and get food all the time when I'm like...
How does that work? Is she going
to
be like...
Oh, she has it like delivered to the dorm. So I can just go out, go downstairs and get the groceries and just bring it to my room.
From who?
From the guy who gives it to me.
I know, but where is she ordering it from? That's
Amazon.
Like any other student, food, believe it or not, was her highest expense.
How do you buy food? I mean, you said a lot of your money went to food. Is it expensive?
Oh, because they have a whole... they have like a whole... food, fast food line down by Georgia Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
So they have food over there, 24-hour Subway. So right. That's like good for everything. So the freshman 15 is no joke. And that should be taken into consideration. But
yeah,
that's probably like... like, the biggest thing I spent it on was food when it didn't even need to be spent on because I could have easily just went to the cafe.
She was down during her first semester, but she has an important lesson to share.
There was a time I was really down and out. Like, it was... I spent all my money, and I don't know, some parties were happening. I still never went to the party, so... But it was like the first semester, I had to wait because I had breakfast, and then I had to wait all the way until dinner time because I didn't want to waste that one meal because I had two meals a day. So it was kind of hard then, but I learned my lesson.
Are you going to change?
Probably not.
And what was your lesson? I want to hear it.
Don't spend too much money and use it when you need it.
Tip number four, using cash versus a credit card is a surefire way to keep a pulse check on managing your expenses.
I recommend cash because it's easy to just swipe and the balance later, as opposed to you carry cash, you pay for it, and then you look in your wallet, you're like, oh my gosh, this is all the money I have left. So you're more aware of how much you
like, oh, I gotta slow down a little bit.
Yeah. Right. Swipes, you know? Because you can swipe and it may not accept it, but you can still keep swiping as opposed to the dollars they run out.
I asked her if that worked for her, like really worked.
I actually have been doing that maybe the last month and like not every week, but I'm doing that now and it's definitely helping me, you know.
Are you the college student applying for scholarships while you're in college? Are you looking for help because you're stuck with filling out all the scholarship applications? Or maybe you just want to target the right opportunities that are the best fit. Visit www.gradschoolhelp.com and fill out the 30-minute free consult form. Dr. Hilton will sit down with you for 30 minutes to figure out your next steps. With a quickness, you can get a taste of adulting right here.
Freshman year is the best year because that's when your parents really give you money. Like, my parents were just sending the money flow in every week. Oh my gosh, did you eat today? This and that. Like, they would just send me money, but then your sophomore year, okay, dies down. Okay, junior year, I was like, So just appreciate, you know, the money flow from your parents and the support now. Because when it comes time to, you know, work and have to provide for yourself, it can get a little hard.
The ups and downs of financial aid. These upperclassmen always want you to be prepared, especially for those on-the-fly, unexpected situations. Or you can call them shituations.
When I was a freshman, there was a situation where they said that I was not from Maryland. I have never lived in Maryland and all this stuff, but I have been living in Maryland since I was 5. So they told me that I had to pay out-of-state tuition. So that was a whole situation that we had to get. I had to bring in some documentation proving that I had been living in Maryland. And so that was already, I haven't even stepped foot on campus yet, and there was already some problems. But my advice is, you know, every once the semester is nearing, you know, there's a lot of documents that they need. Try to get them in as soon as possible, because there are situations where they'll say they never received them or they don't have them on file. So you don't want that to happen once school starts. You want to try to get all of your financial aid situations cleared out before the semester begins. So if that means starting as soon as the semester ends, do that. There's different verification filing sheets, I-9, tax papers at the request of you and your parents, depending on if they're claiming you and all that stuff. Try to request all of those online and get them as soon as possible. Like, do your part. You know, if they mess up, they mess up. But as long as you do your part, you got to have patience as well. And make sure you take receipts for everything. When you turn in paper, ask them for a receipt for it. Or if they can't give you one, I'm going to write out that I gave you this at this day and I want you to sign it off, like something.
Tip number 5. This is where the maturity comes in, with being prepared and also being 1 to 2 steps ahead of the financial administration folks. The lesson here is to make copies of everything so that you're prepared for those on the fly situations.
Financial aid. That's one big thing I hated.
Yeah.
Deal with, because it was, at one point, it was like an ongoing thing. Like, I was constantly there. Stuff that I put in 3-4 times, they're telling me they never received. That's where the copies come in, because it's like, you can bring that out and show them, like, well, it says that you received it at this date, so I don't understand why you don't have it. And then when you bring out a copy, all of a sudden, oh, we found it. You know, I'm big on copies. My mom is big on copies. Anytime that we put in a money order or a check, she said, make a copy before you give it to them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm big on copying. So everything that you give to the school, before you give it to them, make a copy and file it.
At Howard, most upperclassmen and alumni can tell you about the infamous A building, which stands for the School Administration Financial Aid Office. This is where you're going to learn with a quickness to stay on your stuff.
One thing I would have known is that there's so many other people in the school that administrators not care. They cannot show that they care about you so much. Like, that everybody may have problems and your financial aid problem may not be worse than somebody else's. So it's like, you don't always feel that attention or even the respect that you might think you're going to get. So you really have to stay on your stuff and follow up and just plan ahead. I honestly was going to pay for Howard, and I still went, but was kind of a burden on my parents, so I would just say, like, prepare early, especially since you're a freshman. Like, you still have time to apply for scholarships within your school or outside scholarships, like stuff that high school seniors can apply for, because there's so much stuff out there that you don't really know about, but you really have to do. And if you're lazy, you need to get over that, because it's better to be tired with some money than lazy and broke and hurt your parents' wallet. Because my parents really did, well, actually, yeah, both of them kind of threatened me and was like, you might be back here next semester if you don't get no money, Nicole. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Hey, my mom always tells me, not to worry, but it's like I still worry because I don't want to be that kind of burden on her. So I just apply to as many scholarships as I can. But at the same time, I know she's like, if this girl don't get some money now, she better I understand, like, it's going to be hard in the future when it comes to that, but I don't know. I just love Howard for some reason. The A building is just so...
It's crazy because both of my parents went to Howard, and my dad has even said Howard administration is awful. Like, he graduated probably 1980. It's 2018, and Howard administration still sucks. Like, I don't understand. They not figure out the problem.
I'm confused. I think I want to be part of Howard administration when I get older, like, and just fix it somehow.
It's terrible because they have so many brilliant students coming to the school, or people who want to come to the school, but they can't because they just can't take it because it's so disorganized, or they're putting up with their scholarships, or they're offering them something that they can't or won't give them. So it's, some things are very misleading and some things are very disorganized. So it's like you're losing the trust of so many good people because y'all won't hire like two more employees. Like,
here's a recap of today's episode and the money lessons and actionable steps every student, every freshman should take during their college years and beyond, just to save yourself from the financial embarrassment. This list was provided by Aja McClanahan, who is a financial literacy advocate and founder of the principlesofincrease.com. Her advice to freshmen is, number one, work study versus a regular job. Number two, paying college loans while in college. Don't wait until you graduate. Number three, don't use your entire refund check so that you're popping out. Take the refund check and not spend it on spring break either. Use it to pay off your debt. Number four, you don't have to use student loans. Dr. Kevin Hilton preached the same sermon. Number five, look for scholarships. This is something you should be doing weekly, monthly, but on the regular. Number six, know your earnings capacity based on your major. You don't want to be studying 4 years just to learn you're going to make small coins. You want to make bank when all is said and done. Number seven, what is your money picture after graduation? Do you even know? Number eight, build your credit score in college. Don't destroy it with credit cards. Number nine, student loans. You want to make sure you negotiate what you deserve. And that means a salary to cover all your post-college expenses. The strongest actions and goals for you to make for yourself is to become so financially secure that, girl, you forget it's payday. That's your financial North Star. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. New Educating Her episodes drop every day. And in case you missed last week, you can tune in to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, or even TuneIn Radio. But before you go, give me some love, Girly Nation, on iTunes or Stitcher. If you like this episode or any other ones, kindly leave me a rating and 5-star review. I rely on it because it helps me stand out from the crowd and helps women, and even you men listening, understand us and each other better. It doesn't have to end here, y'all. Take your pick. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, or the Keep It 100 Facebook page. And you're going to use the handle at Nina Babel. That's Babe with an L. Tell me you were here listening and what you liked about this episode. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to be asking students, graduates, and alumni why they opted to attend an HBCU, PWI, or both. You know I keep it 100. I keep it real. I keep it true. Smooches!